You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Hello and welcome to another Camden Community Radio interview. Today I'm joined by the cast and writers of a new play called Tonight I'll Be April, which is showing at the Etc. Theatre this month. I'm going to get my guests to talk a little bit more about it. So first, I'm going to have everyone introduce themselves.
Hi, my name's Trizi Yanzu and I'm co-writer of the play.
I'm Josephine Sampson. I am co-writer. I also play the part of April.
I'm Larry Olubamirol and I play the part of Michael.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Can you tell me where the title came from?
The title came from one of the previous conceptions, if you like. Mm-hmm. This story has evolved a number of times and the title came from the second evolution, I think. Because it was incidental, essentially. It was about a lady who just couldn't decide who she wanted to be each day. And the opening line was, tonight I'll be April. And we just
great
took it. I thought, yeah, that works.
Lovely, lovely.
Can I just butt in, really, because it's really funny. That's Joe's interpretation of it. Mm-hmm. I wrote that when I was writing it, and it just said to save. And because the first line was, tonight I'll be April, I just saved it, tonight I'll be April. And it worked. Actually, all credit to Microsoft Word.
Brilliant, brilliant. I like that. Larry, you're an actor. You haven't been involved in the writing process so much. Can you tell me a bit about the themes of the play and tell me how you connect with those themes as an actor?
The main theme of the play is that it is a love story. Mm. And, you know, it follows the lives of this couple. Obviously, there's this issue hand which is what April is suffering from, which is a multiple personality disorder. Mm. And that kind of then takes over from the love story. I think there's, in the beginning of the story, it is just a love story, and then it evolves into, you know, what she's suffering from and how they both deal with it.
Okay.
And it kind of takes then another step into domestic abuse.
Okay. Yeah.
But looking at it from a different aspect, in that it's the man being abused.
Mm.
So it's got a lot of facets to it, and I think it will keep whoever's watching it interested.
Mm. Yeah. Joe, can you add anything to those themes?
Not much really, but I think Larry hit the nail on the head. It is very much about the love these two people have. There is a connection between them. But yet she has a secret that she hasn't shared with him. And her initial concern is that he will find out and he will leave her. But the different facets of her personality start to creep in. And, you know, the first time it happens, he's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
But then it escalates and it becomes more frequent. And then, bam, you know, she's there. Or they're there, and he has to deal with the complexity of her. The themes of the mental health, they underscore the relationship from the beginning of the play right through to the end, but they start to leak out as the play progresses, as well as the domestic abuse. It's in your face, but it's not. It's very subtle and it's very sensitive.
Mm.
Sensitively looks at, as Larry said, how this couple, normal day-to-day, regular Joe Blogs, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Blogs, if you like, get on with their lives and how they deal with these issues that come into their relationship. So yes, it's a love story, but it's not a Mills and Boons love story.
Yeah.
It's a reality. It's reality. It's modern day. And it's very much looking at how they navigate their relationship around these issues. Yes, she's got issues, but he also has issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also has issues, but yeah.
Okay. And Tess, how did this, the element of mental health and how did the element of domestic abuse actually kind of get into the play?
So when we first wrote the first play, which was actually called The Corner, it was a typical love story. It was about two people centred and met in this corner. But right at the end, their love kind of disintegrated because the lady was abused. And as I was speaking to Joe, it kind of evolved that we wanted to highlight on that topic because it was something that was highlighted on the news, actually. And we thought, actually, it's quite relevant now. Let's focus on that. But then we wanted to add, not necessarily a twist, but something that's different, just not to make it a typical love story with a sad ending. And we were going to incorporate death and all the rest of it. And I thought, no. And then it was the case, okay, let's change the reverse. Instead of the woman being abused, let the man be abused. And that is a serious issue, but not many people talk about it because it's a man that's been abused. And, you know, with society thinking, oh, he's a man, he could deal with a woman abusing him. That's not necessarily the case. And so we wanted to highlight that it is a serious issue. As much as women are being abused, men are being abused too. And we wanted to highlight that. So it kind of all came together, and they're two topics. So it's not mental abuse but mental disorder, and then it is abuse, but it's an abuse of a man. And that aspect about men being abused is not widely spoken about, so it's good that the play highlights that, and hopefully it brings an awareness to that issue, and then more men might be open enough to come out and speak out if they are suffering.
Yeah, that's quite a big thing, of course. I know that you were telling me earlier that you felt a little apprehensive, let's say, about you know, what that means to put something that doesn't have so much of a voice on stage, when obviously you yourself you're not an abused man, but neither do you suffer from that disorder. So how do you feel about that? I'll ask each of you. How do you feel about that, Tess?
For someone that's writing a play, it's nerve-wracking because you want to get it right. It's from my point of view. And I think for all of us, from Larry and Joe as actors, we're not taking it lightly. Mm. We're trying to portray this in a sensitive fashion, in an art form. But because we don't have those backgrounds, we haven't come from those backgrounds, it's very hard. And I think our research only went so far, in the sense that we didn't interview an abused man, and we didn't interview someone that has a mental disorder or did suffer from a mental disorder. So it's our interpretation. So it's nerve-wracking because you want to do it justice. You want to highlight these issues and make people aware of them because they're important and they're sensitive, but you don't want to do them justice, if that's the right word, because somebody with a mental disorder or a man that has been abused may come and see the play, or people from organisations that help these people come see the play and they'll be like, well, you've got that completely wrong, or you didn't highlight that, or this is not, it could be complete fabrication, and we don't want to upset anybody. But at the same time, we've tried to capture how we feel these things happen and how we feel people react to these issues, and we hope that we've done those topics justice.
Great. As a creative writer and also as acting performers, that's your job, I guess, is to imaginatively inhabit those things that you haven't experienced. Even doing the research, you'd still be attempting to do that job, I suppose. So over to Larry, how is it being on stage an abused man? How does that feel? How do you do it?
Well, as Tess mentioned, it takes a lot of research. I've actually done a theatre and education show a while ago in which I played an abused man, and I had to do a lot of research for that. So it kind of helped me to get into the headspace for this character. Yeah. It's not easy, obviously, because, like, as you said, I'm not from this, I haven't got this background, I'm not an abused man. But it's, even without the research, you can kind of get into the head a little bit of a person that's been abused, just generally. And, you know, there's certain traits within every abused person that, you know, you can take and say, look, okay, I can portray this, yeah. I can portray that. But I mean, regardless of whether we get those portrayals right or wrong, it the main thing is that we bring an awareness of this issue to everyone, because it's to be honest, in society nowadays, it's seen as a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
Men being abused. I remember watching a video with some actors, and there was a lady there were two actors. They staged a scenario on the street where the lady was being abused by the guy, and everyone intervened. Then they did the reverse, and everyone was just laughing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to bring an awareness that, especially in this day of where everyone's talking about equal rights for men and women, which should be obviously the case, there needs to be just as much an awareness of men being abused as there are, you know, women being abused.
Yeah, thank you. And Joe, do you have anything to add to that? I understand that you have actually, as a psychology tutor, you have studied the condition that's been described in the play, which is dissociative identity disorder.
Mm.
Could you tell us a little bit about that, and also how you connect to your role through that?
I think this is probably the aspect that if I am worried about anything, I'll probably be worried about this. Mainly because it's a disorder that's been around for years and years and years. It used to be called multiple personality disorder, but that title was changed to dissociative identity disorder simply because of the dissociative nature of the disorder, in a sense that an individual can have fragmented identity as a result of this disorder. And what that basically means is two or more identities can exist within one individual. And in some cases, the identities are not aware of each other's existence, hence the dissociation. In other cases, there is an awareness of the different personalities in existence. No two people with DID are the same. People can have as little as two different identities, or as many as over 100 different identities in existence within the same body. And they all show up at different times of the day, whatever. Now, one of the things with this disorder is that it's one that splits healthcare professionals in terms of whether it's a real disorder or not. There are some psychiatrists, so there are two camps, some psychiatrists who believe the disorder exists, and then another camp, psychiatrists who believe the disorder does not exist. It's a disorder that is manifested within the therapy session. The therapist invokes the creation of these identities. So it's a confused disorder in its interpretation, in its understanding, in its manifestation. Those who experience the disorder, they're confused. So if I'm apprehensive about anything, it's that. In the sense of whether, right, let me say this. In criminal cases, there have been criminal cases in the past where people have used the disorder as defense.
But falsely?
In some cases, yeah. In others, it's unclear. You know? And if I don't want anything, it will be this. It will be for, Tess and I had this conversation, I don't want to stigmatize people who suffer from this disorder, in the sense that they're portrayed as being evil and bad, etc. Because no, that's not necessarily the case. However, this is drama.
Yeah.
And I do, and I'm very mindful of the fact that a lot of portrayals of portrayals of MPD in the past, multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder in the past, have focused on the negative aspects of it. And I'm quite aware that there's a certain element of that in this play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm hoping that we're striking the balance by portraying the positive aspects of the disorder. I suppose what I'm doing is I'm presenting it and I'm leaving it to the audience to decide, well, does she actually have the disorder or not? Is she using it as an excuse or not? I don't know. And that literally reflects what's going on in the profession.
Yeah, fascinating. And as it emerges, as the kind of negative side of this emerges slowly, it's also exactly how it's emerging for the couple as well. The audience experiences it kind of in real time as the couple suddenly discovers there's this problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, fascinating. We're all, of course, very interested to come and see it. So can you tell us when it's going to be on and what time and where?
Yeah, sure. It's at the Etcetera Theatre on Camden High Street, just above the Oxford Arms. So 19th to 23rd, Etcetera Theatre, 7:30, 24th of April, Etcetera Theatre, 6:30.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. It was my pleasure to interview you, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the piece.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
This is a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer,
email info@ccradio.org.